Well, I didn't mean to pick a song that you didn't know. I didn't realize that the tune was different from what it normally is. I don't know if you know the other tune, but, well, I don't know. I guess I got you back. There were a couple hymns that you hit me with tonight, so. My name is Philip Lannis. I'm a nephew of Uncle Dave and Aunt Ruth. Of course, who isn't a nephew of Uncle Dave? But or a niece, as you may be. I'm in Pennsylvania, New Holland, Pennsylvania. I just completed my master's degree in physics, and I'm looking for work, so you can keep me in prayer. I'd really like to get a job teaching because it'll help free my summers up for camp work at Camp Iroquoina in northern Pennsylvania, northeastern Pennsylvania, really close to Binghamton. What I'd like to speak on, I don't know what was spoken on this morning, and this may be close. I really don't know. It being Father's Day, there's a good chance. But I want to speak on honor, respect, and obedience. And just to look at those words and look at the concepts primarily of honoring and respecting in contrast to obedience. So let's turn to Romans 13. Romans chapter 13, that's a good place to start. There's a number of places I want to read just to kind of give you an idea of what the Lord has to say in His Word about honor and about respect and about obedience in the many different areas of our lives. Romans chapter 13. And we'll start reading there in verse 1. We'll read through verse 7. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation or judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Let's just take a moment and ask the Lord again for help in this meeting this evening. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Thy Word, for the truth of it, for the promises of it, for the wisdom in it. And our Father, we pray that this evening, as we look at this particular subject, that You might open our hearts and that You might teach us concerning the ideas of authority and of honor and of respect, so that we might be able to honor those that are over us better and ultimately honor Thee better and respect Thee and obey Thee as we ought. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Now, you might think of the word honor and wonder what it means. You hear it, and you might get a picture in your mind of a king and all his subjects and bowing and honoring him. And I don't know. That's usually the picture I get. But the word honor might also be described as respecting, obeying, yielding, submitting to some authority or being in subjection to some authority. And honor, as we're going to look and find, honor is commanded in Scripture towards God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, towards rulers that are over us in the government, whether it's kings or presidents or governors or teachers or policemen, those that are involved in the government that have authority over us that God has given to them. Also those that are elderly, those that are older than us, those who are more experienced in this life, who have been through more, we ought to honor them. And of course, today, fathers and mothers, husbands, elders in the church, those that are church leaders, anyone who's in authority over us, the Scripture commands us to honor, to respect. And even interestingly enough, it tells us that we ought to honor one another. even those that are on our same level, we ought to honor and respect one another. Now, I wanted to try to see if the Scripture had a good definition of honor. And I found it in the Old Testament. So we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58, and it's kind of spread out over two verses. So we'll read the two verses, and then I'll just pull out, because it is in the Old Testament and it does deal with Israel, but it's a good place to find a good definition of honor and of respect. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. And we'll read just verses 13 and 14. Isaiah 58, 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the Holy One of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him. And here's the passage that's really important, the rest of this verse. Not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So as God is talking through the prophet Isaiah to Israel, he's giving them a good definition there in the end of verse 13 of what honor really is, of how practically honor can be seen as we would seek to honor primarily in here God, but practically to those that are around us. And verse 14 I read simply because we can know that we can delight ourselves in the Lord by honoring him and honoring those that are around us because of his placing those authorities over us, that whole structure that he has decided is good for us and has put in place. And he gives the promise of blessing if we do respect that honor. So the three things there in the end of verse 13, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. And I tried to break it down in this way. Not doing your own way. Well, that's your will. That's your desires, what you want to do. Not seeking your own pleasure. Well, that's kind of your emotions. You know, pleasure is something that we do. It's an emotional thing. And not speaking your own words. Well, we speak words that our mind comes up with. So we've got the three essential areas of a person, of a human being. Their mind, it's not speaking your own words. Their emotions, not finding your own or seeking your own pleasures. And your will, not doing your own way. And so those three things are all very selfless things. You're not doing your own way. You're not seeking your own pleasures. And you're not speaking your own words. And any of you who are under authority will know that usually that's what happens when you have to obey or when you have to honor. I've got a number of verses here, and I don't want to go through all of them, but I just want to hit a lot of the major areas of authority in our lives. All the different kind of compartments that we live under. We've got people that are over us in different ways. So let's just look quickly at some of these verses. John chapter 5. I'll just run through them, and then we'll be pretty much done with all the looking at verses and turning and flipping pages for the rest of the time. John chapter 5 and verse 23. And this is our command from Scripture to honor God. And also it's going to talk about honoring the Son, Jesus Christ. John chapter 5, verse 23 says this. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. So that was Christ speaking, saying that we ought to, all men ought to honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He was assuming that men would honor God the Father. Now, fathers and mothers, of course, we all know the Ten Commandments. Honor thy father and thy mother in the Lord. For this is right. I wanted to look not at the one in Exodus 20, but at the one in Deuteronomy chapter 5, because it says a little more. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16. Because there's promises in here too, and later on we'll see another passage where it mentions fathers and mothers, and we'll see that it actually does mention it's with a promise. Deuteronomy 5:16. This is kind of a recapping of many of the things in the Ten Commandments. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So that's father and mother. Now let's turn to Ephesians 5, and we'll see what the New Testament version of that is. You know, that said, honor your father and mother, and it will be well with you in the land which the Lord will give you. Well, that was to the Jews. And we aren't going to get that particular land. So we want to see what the New Testament has to say along those same lines. So Ephesians chapter 5 brings it up to date to us. Ephesians chapter 5, or I'm sorry, I'm going to go to 6. There's a whole lot of them I'm going to look in here. But chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, talk specifically about parents and about father and mother. Ephesians 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And so it kind of expands it. It's not just the land, but that you might live long on the earth, and it might be well with you, because you're obeying God in obeying your father and your mother. Now let's jump back to chapter 5, verse 21, and I'll just kind of go through and tell you which verses, because there's a whole bunch of them all kind of packed into here, and we'll be able to get through a lot of these different areas right in this area here. Chapter 5, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Then verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Then let's go down to chapter 6 and verse 5. And we're talking about servants and masters. Chapter 6, verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Now let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Just bear with me here as I go through these verses. I know it gets a little tedious, but this is the core of what we want. I mean, you didn't come here to hear me. You came here to hear the Word of God. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. And this is going to be covering some of the same. First, we look at rulers, just generally rulers, those in government. 1 Peter 2, verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And then verse 18 talks about servants to their employers, their masters. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the forward. And then down to chapter 3 and verse 1, and we'll just read the first half of that verse. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word, may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. And then verse 5 of that chapter 3, for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. And then chapter 5 of 1 Peter, we look at those that are older than us, just those that are elderly. Chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And let's go to 1 Timothy, because the last portion we haven't seen is our elders, those that are in authority in the local church, those that have been given a position of responsibility in a local church such as this. So 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. And then we'll have one more verse, I think. Yes. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17, we're talking about the elders. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, not just honor, but double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. And then Hebrews chapter 13 is the last one we're going to look at. Hebrews 13, verse 7 and verse 17. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or of their life, of their lifestyle. And verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So it's very clear in Scripture that there's many different areas that we can expect that we're going to have to be under some kind of authority. So it's really important for us to learn to respect and to learn to honor, because that's what the Lord is expecting of us. And honoring authority is very important because since God has placed those people in our lives, He is expecting our level of honor for them, because it's really showing our level of honor and our level of respect to Him, because He has put them there. So really, and we've seen that in a number of these verses, when we obey our employer, or when we obey our father and our mother, or when we obey our husband, or when we obey those that are in the government, we're really obeying God, because He has placed them in that position to do a certain work in our lives. And we need to understand that He set those people because He wants to accomplish certain things in us. Even if it seems like those people don't know what they're talking about or don't know what they're doing, He's in a sense controlling them. He's got control of the situation. And we'll deal with ungodly authority eventually here in a little while. But for the most part, even if we think everything's all messed up, God is working through those people, even through their faults sometimes, to bring in our lives the kind of character that He wants, the kind of maturity that He wants. And so it's not that he just ordained these people to be our authority and then just let them loose. He's working actively in those people. Now, we're always going to be under some kind of authority. It doesn't matter how old we are, there's always going to be someone older. Doesn't matter how powerful we get in a company, there's always going to be someone above us, or we're going to be responsible somehow. No matter how much we learn, there's always someone who has more knowledge, more experience, and who we should go to. So we should put a priority on learning to be subject, learning to respect, and learning to honor those that are in authority. Now, one thing that we have to be careful here, we have to distinguish between honor and obedience. Obedience is simply, if we can put it down in its simplest terms, obedience is just doing what we're told. Someone tells us, your mother tells you, go clean your room. You go and you clean your room. But you know, obedience is just an action. You go and clean your room. It has nothing to do with your attitude of your heart, how you feel about it. Little boy could be told by his mother, go clean your room, and he'll stomp upstairs and he'll throw open the door and he'll take his clothes and put them in the dirty clothes and take his toys, put them in his closet, and he hates it. And he's not respecting his mother at all. He's just obeying. So obeying is just an action. And respect and honor is more an attitude of the heart. It's something deeper than just how we move our hands, you know, or what we do. Respect goes far beyond obedience. Honor and respect is doing more, going the extra step in a sense. You know, perhaps you realize one day that your room is dirty, and you know that, well, if mom sees this room, she's going to tell me to clean it up. And so you don't actually have a command. She hasn't actually said, go clean your room. But you know that's what she wants. You know that's what she would ask for. That's respect. Even though you're still doing the same things as if she had told you to do it, you're doing it because you know that's what she wants. And you've, in a sense, you've learned to respect and to honor her. Also, respect and honor, it goes all the way to the heart in the sense that you, as you're respecting and honoring, you're learning. You're learning to agree with your parents or with whatever authority you're under. You're agreeing with them, and you're being influenced by them. You know, you could build a robot and program it to do anything you want. You could make it go and wash the dishes. You could make it go and balance your checkbook. You're never going to get respect out of that robot. It'll only obey. Now, blind obedience and ungodly authority. We have to deal with this because there's always this situation that comes up. I had a schoolmate in university, and he was an agnostic. But I had a discussion one time with him about obedience and authority. And his situation, his opinion of the whole thing was, well, I should only obey someone who deserves to be obeyed, someone who is in a position that they got there because they have the knowledge and they have the understanding. And even beyond that, if they tell me to do something, I should agree with it. I shouldn't obey it just because they say it. I should question it. I should think, okay, why? What good will come and what bad will come from this commandment? And there's some truth to this opinion, but he, being agnostic, missed that whole overlying concept of God ordaining authority. He thought that really authority was his, and those that were asking him to do something, he had to first okay it. He had to give his okay before he did it. And of course, he said that, well, if someone asks me to do something that's not good, that's harmful to me or harmful to society, or if someone gives me a commandment that is contradictory to something that they said before, I should ignore it, I should obey it, and I'd be right to do so. Now, I don't want to go to one extreme too far because, you know, we've got on one side we've got his opinion and on the other side we've got blind obedience. You know, so we've got to find a common ground. We've got to find some kind of a balance here. Basically, because God has put, say, my father in a position of authority over me, I should respect him, I should honor him, and I should obey him. Even if it doesn't make sense to me, even if it doesn't seem to make sense with something that he has said before. There was a story I heard when I was a child, and I don't know too much of the details. I assume it's true. But it was a story of a father who was a missionary and his son, and they were somewhere, Africa, something like that. And it was a Sunday. And the little boy was all dressed up in his Sunday clothes. And he had strict instructions from his father. Now, when it's Sunday and when you have your Sunday clothes on, you're not to go playing around in the trees or crawling around on the grass, you know, because we just can't get down to the local dry cleaner and get that stuff cleaned up. And we can't, when you wear the knees out of those pants, we aren't going to very easily be able to get a new pair of pants for you. So he was told explicitly, you know, you don't play around, you don't crawl around or do anything to mess up your clothes. Well, there was one hot day when he was kind of standing under the tree and out behind the church, and his father was standing a little ways away, and all of a sudden his father said, Billy, whatever his name was, Billy, get down on the ground and crawl towards me. And to his credit, he didn't hesitate. He didn't question. He got down to the ground and he crawled towards his father, and he got up and his pants were all grass stained. But behind him he heard a thump, and he turned around, and there on the ground, just where he had been standing, was a boa constrictor. Now, his father, in that situation, gave a commandment that was totally contradictory to what he had heard before. And if he had hesitated, it might have been his life. But because he respected his father and honored his father, even though it didn't seem quite right at the time, he obeyed what his father had told him. Now, that's an emergency kind of situation. It doesn't happen all the time. But in the same sense, there's times when we as little children are not allowed to do certain things. But as we grow, our parents will give us more responsibility, and they'll say something to us that we weren't allowed to do before, but now we are. So the whole argument about contradictory commandments is not as watertight as he thought it was. But we do need to be careful about ungodly authority, because even though God has placed people in our lives over us, they're still human. They still sin. They still are wrong at times. They still do things that they shouldn't, have selfish intent. And so we have to be careful about how we're going to deal with this. Do I obey this person now? How do I draw the line? When do I know when I should disobey someone who's over me? A good thing to understand is that the position that person is in is important. We were looking at the different areas. We have policemen, we have teachers, we have parents, we have elders in the assembly. They have certain jurisdictions, and a policeman cannot come up to you and tell you what you should believe about God or about the Bible. That's not his jurisdiction. An elder, in a sense, can't really come and tell you how you should act in your home. That's really your parents' position. And so you have to understand that in certain areas of your life, you have certain authorities that you need to respect and honor. But even beyond that, what if they tell you something that is wrong? What if your father may say, I have a friend who's got a non-Christian father. He's an unbeliever. His mother's a believer, but his father isn't. And there's times when his father gives him advice that he can't take because it goes against what he knows is right from the Word of God. And so what is he doing? Is he really disobeying his father? Is he not honoring the authority that's been placed over him? We still need to obey. The focus ought to still be on obedience, but not on rebellion. There were times in my friend's life where his father gave him good advice. And just because his father was wrong in other areas doesn't mean he should disqualify everything of his father. We need to understand that there are times when if the commandment is good and right, we need to follow it. But the whole principle is this, that God has ordained my friend's father over him, but the real authority is God. And if his father fails in his position as a father, my friend needs to look to God and look to the higher authority to really still be obedient and not be rebellious towards his father, really. He's really just being obedient to God. So it's hard. It's not easy to understand sometimes. But as we look at the different areas of our lives and as we look at God's ideas and God's authority, we need to understand that there's times when we need to go to a higher authority, and we can know that by the Word of God. Now, one thing that we really ought to do, that I want to do before I finish here, is look at honoring God. We've been talking mostly about honoring authority, human authority, but let's look a little bit at honoring God. And you don't need to turn to this. I'll just turn to this myself and read it to you. It's 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. And this is a real principle when we're talking about honoring God, and this should affect our lives not only here or in school or in our homes. It should affect all areas of our lives because our respect and our honor of God is going to affect everything. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. This is a very important verse, and I think about it a lot when I consider what choices I'm going to make in my day-to-day walk with the Lord. And we need to understand that God, of course, I mean, I'm only stating the obvious here, but God, of course, deserves honor and respect. And we would all agree with that, I think. But sometimes we don't do that in our actions. We need to be sure that we give the best to Him. And that, of course, we've all heard before as well. But it needs to be said, because I know that in my life, it just doesn't seem to sink in. I hear it, I agree with it, and yet there's times when I just don't do it. But He needs to get the best. He needs to have the best of everything that He's given to us. He's entrusted us with our life, with time, with wealth, with our abilities, with our intelligence. And we need to understand that it's really all His at first. And we need to give it back to Him. So all those things we need to honor Him in. And if that means having to do without a little extra sleep in the morning so you can get up and get to meeting on time, or if that means stepping out of your comfort zones a little bit to go down to the main street with some tracts and hand out some tracts, you know, the things that we do for Him are going to pay back. We're going to get the rewards that He promises. If we honor Him, He will honor us. If we despise Him, we'll be lightly esteemed. And the best example of this, of course, is Christ. There are many, many times in Scripture where He says, I honor my Father. I do not do the things that I want to do. I'm speaking the words that my Father would have me to speak. And we need to kind of have that mindset. We need to have that attitude that we're really not our own. We should not be seeking our own pleasure. We should not be doing our own ways. We should not be speaking our own words. We should be seeking to please God, seeking to accomplish His will in our lives, and seeking to speak His words to those that are around us. It's interesting that fathers, their whole purpose in life, their whole job, is to work on their children until their children become independent, until they can go out on their own and they can function in the world, and they can be so they don't have to depend on the father. But that's not the way it is spiritually. It's really interesting that it's this way. But God, as He tries to make us grow, help us to grow, and teach us and make us mature, we're supposed to be getting more and more dependent on Him. And so I pray that we, not just you, but myself first of all, that I would really do what we read there in Isaiah 58, that I would really seek His will, that I would seek His pleasure, and that I would speak His words. Let's pray. Gracious God and Father, we're thankful for authority in our lives. We're thankful for the structure that Thou hast given to us to teach us, to mold us, to shape us. And we pray that in whatever area we are, that we would not be rebellious, that we would not give resistance to those that are over us, but that we would realize that it's really You that we're serving as we honor and obey those that are around us. Pray for the children as they're learning, and as it's so hard sometimes to go against their own will and go with their parents' will. We pray that You might give them help, and for the rest of us who are still, in a sense, children in our actions and in our hearts, still seeking those things which we want, pray that we might have a humble mind, and that we might do thy will, and that we might really understand the joy that comes from honoring thee and obeying thee in our lives. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.